Hello and welcome to the Browns Blitz. Today is Tuesday, November 26th, and this is episode 9. I am very excited to have what I'm going to call a special guest because I've been wanting to talk to this gentleman for quite a while. We've had a lot of interaction on Twitter, and it's just a pleasure for me to welcome in Coach Tolliver. Coach, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding. I'm very happy to be a part of this. This is my first time doing a podcast, so I'm very excited.
Well, I'm very excited that this is your first podcast. Anybody that follows you on Twitter just knows, you know, what kind of an outstanding person you are, and just it's wonderful to talk to you. And I'm going to give out your Twitter handle now, because if anybody's not following you, they should be. It's at Coach Tolliver 26, and give him a follow and just interact with him, and you're not going to be disappointed. Let me just say that. So, Coach, we always kick the show off. Before we get into talking about Browns, we're going to cover our Blitz beverages. So I know you have a beer going over there, and I'm going to let you kind of kick us off here and talk about the beer that you selected for tonight's show.
Well, at my old unit, I never really was that much of a beer drinker, but Coors Light is my go-to beverage of choice. I love tasting the Rockies, especially when it's cold. I also have another one, Southern Pecan, made out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which is a pretty good beer. I normally drink those on the weekend after a long day's work. So that's what I'm currently drinking right now.
Southern Pecan?
Yes.
So is that brewed with pecans? I don't want to be silly about it. I haven't heard of it, so.
Oh, absolutely. It's a small little distribution beer company that's outside of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the type of guys I really like tasting, you know, local shops, local beers. And,
yeah.
You know, they just taste so much better. But Coors is my go-to. That's my go-to, number one.
Yeah, but when you want something a little special, you go with the other one.
Yes, indeed. Some good beer.
Sounds good to me. Well, I think I bought this beer like a week ago. I don't know, maybe it's a little bit early, but I think I had a Christmas beer last week on the show, so I pulled out another one, and it is the Southern Tier Brewing Company 2 Xmas, a spiced double ale, and this is a very flavorful beer. The description on the bottle is brewed with orange peel, ginger root, cardamom, cinnamon, fig paste, and cloves, and you can taste all of that stuff in it. And you know, a lot of these Christmas ales to me are just kind of overpowering. It's kind of like almost too much flavor mixed in. You can't pick stuff out. I can taste the flavor in this, and I think it's a very well done beer. So I'm going to give it 2 thumbs up. Recommend it. I would definitely tell anybody to give this a shot, especially if you like the Christmas beers. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm gonna give that a go. Hopefully they have some of that down here in Tennessee. You know, yeah. Tennessee is a little backwards in some thinking.
So. Yeah, I don't know where this is made. I was gonna look. I don't want to take up too much time here, but yeah, I don't know where Southern Tier Brewing Company is. Let's see if I can see on the bottle, but yeah, everybody's yelling at me who's listening to it. Oh, it's here. Here's where it's made, but.
Yeah, I see on the Twitter feeds, you know, a lot of people talk about the beers they drink and stuff like that. And, you know, to be honest with you, I really gonna have to, you know, get out of my comfort zone and do a little bit of, you know, nipping here and there and see what's out there.
Well, it's funny because, yeah, I was kind of the same way. I usually drank just, you know, a couple different kinds of beer. And since I started doing the podcast and started trying different beers, I've kind of tried different things and started liking different types of beers. But it's funny, there are so many different breweries, so many different kinds of beers that I still go into a beer shop after I've tried, I don't know, you know, hundreds of beers. And I still see just beers all over the place I've never heard of, never seen anything like it. There's such a variety out there that you can find just all kinds of different stuff to try. So it makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know down here we have a restaurant that's called Flying Saucer, where they offer like 5,000 different types of beers.
That wouldn't even surprise me. There's so many out there.
Yeah, it's real. It's a nice little place to go to. But I know I made it probably to about beer number 7. And I was like, man, because, you know, they give you some real good stuff up there. Black and tans.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, Coach, let's move on to some football. Hey, you're a football guy. You know, I mean, you offer some great stuff up on Twitter. Let's talk some Browns. Coming off of a nice, I guess, depending on your perspective, a nice win over the Dolphins. 3 wins in a row. Give me a couple of your takeaways from that game with the Dolphins.
I think by the way we played them like a team that was supposed to win that ball game. You know, that's the first thing that I saw. Then the second biggest thing, of course, everybody that, you know, follows me on Twitter or see my interactions with other Brown Twitter fam. My biggest thing this year has been philosophy. What is the identity of our ball club? And so it looked like it was well balanced. It was well balanced with the run. It looked like it was well balanced with the pass, except for a couple of times we got into a little bit of a lull where, you know, we punted, interception, whatever. And it kind of set us back when it came down to tempo. But it looked like it was a little bit more fluid. It appeared that Baker probably had, they probably gave Baker a few plays and he was able to make the play call at the line of scrimmage. It really didn't look like a Coach Kitchens type of ball game, to be quite honest with you. Defense, I don't know if, and this is the tricky part. I'm thinking that Coach Wilkes is kind of like Kyle Shanahan. And what I mean by that is, when Kyle Shanahan was with us, when he was even with the Redskins, he'll come out guns blazing. I mean, put 28 points up on you real quick. And then the second half, he'll go into, you know, playing conservative football. I mean, you could just think of the Super Bowl when he was with Atlanta. I mean, you're beating the Patriots, and then you go into conservative football in the second half, they come back and beat you. So,
yeah, why do you take your foot off the gas so early? Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah, that second half, I mean, we play better when we're behind on defense. That's what it looks like. When we have a lead, we start struggling a little bit. I mean, one of the best games that shows that is when we play Seattle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we was beating them boys up. We were beating them up on both sides of the ball. But then the second half come, it's like either the offensive coordinator on the other team is good at adjustments, or we're just kind of slow on our side, and we're just trying to play conservative on the defensive side of the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
That's what it looks like. But we still haven't seen a complete game. Of course, the special teams has been remarkable. The coach deserves his money. That special teams coach has been doing some good things on that side of the ball. He's gotten us out of some bad spots, you know, especially our punter. They have done it, but we still haven't seen a complete game. And that's all I'm waiting for. And I think that complete game is going to happen against the Steelers. It's going to happen.
That would be just a perfect spot for it to happen. I think everybody would love that.
Well, you know, I always say this here. You know, it's been a long time coming since we put the league on a notice. Last year, it was some vibes going around, you know, that, yeah, we're here. You know, of course, being realistic as, you know, a coach myself, you know, you got to pump the brakes a little bit. But I really think going into Heinz Field, we get continued play out of our special teams. Our defense shows up angry and upset, and our offense goes out there and just play ball. I don't think it'll be a close game.
I'm with you. I don't think it needs to be a close game. I think it's within the Browns' hands to decide, you know, how much they let the Steelers compete in this game.
Absolutely. We all know they're going to run the ball. They got a rookie quarterback, a backup third stringer. He's in there, so you know they're going to depend on the run. They're going to have to do a lot of screens just to keep the pressure off the guy, because, you know, everybody knows what's about to happen. So I'm thinking that the Steelers will probably try to hold the ball as long as possible, drag out the clock. It's going to be a game of possessions. That's all it is. Who can hold the ball, who can score when they're supposed to. 3 points is not going to cut it. I'm sick of field goals.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sick of field goals. So we're going to have to be deliberate in our approach, you know, to scoring, getting in that red zone and scoring. Like, we're not going to leave this field until we get a touchdown.
Well, so, I think that's probably the most encouraging thing I've seen over the last 3 weeks, is the fact that the Browns have been more careful with the football, Baker specifically, but the offense has not been turning the ball over much at all. And that's key. If you want to compete in the NFL, you have to win that turnover battle. The Browns have lost quite a few games by losing the turnover battle this season.
Absolutely.
I was a little surprised in the Miami game that the Browns didn't, and I know you're talking about the Browns being too conservative on the defensive side. So maybe I'm thinking too conservative on the offensive side, but when you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I'm thinking they're coming out in the second half up 28-3. I'm thinking they're going to run the heck out of the ball. And why wouldn't you? And it's not like you're going to expect to go three downs and out with these two backs. You're expecting to score when you're running with these guys.
Well,
so I was a little surprised.
I guess it's because, you know, both of us are sitting at the house watching the game, and these guys are getting paid to coach. But, I mean, it's just common sense. You know, you got a kid, you got a Cadillac in the backfield. I mean, you got two Cadillacs. A Bentley, whatever you want to call it. You got some beautiful hardware back there. Why not run them? And plus, what makes an offensive lineman happy? Linemen don't want to do pass coverage or pass drops all night long. They want to get after it. They want to throw somebody on the ground. They want some pancakes, you know, feed those guys. And, you know, the way that Chubb runs, I know for a fact his old linemen will go through a wall for him. They will go at another, they will reach down for another form of effort they have never noticed before. I mean, that's the type of guy Chubb and, of course, Hunt is. Why not use him? You know, at the beginning of the year, I said we was going to probably be in, 12 personnel, two tight ends. You know, we've been to two tight end systems pretty much all year this year. But with the bringing in Hunt, why not run both of them? I mean, that game where Hunt was a fullback, that was nasty, because that brought back. And this is probably gonna you know, make you go like, wow. But you remember Florida State back in the early 90s when they had Warwick Dunn back there. They had William Floyd, and then when William Floyd went off to the draft, it was Rock Preston that ended up taking that spot over. So you had two tailbacks that both easily go for 1,200 to 1,500 yards in a season, and. You know, you had that type of, you know, firepower as a coordinator. If I'm having to play against that, I'm like, my God. And then I got Odell on the outside. Then I got Landry. Come on, let's use what we got. Let's use what the Lord has given us. And let's burn these teams up. You know, let's burn these teams up. There's no reason why. Like, I know this is, like, unrealistic. But I really think there's no reason why we cannot put up as many points as the Ravens are doing right now. I mean, we can do it at any time we want. It's just that, you know, looking at what Coach Kitchens sometimes do, we get up and we try to get fancy and do trickery plays and these little gimmicks. Look,
they gimmicks don't need is to. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Gimmicks is good when you're down, but when you're up, let's punish these folks. Let's punish them.
Right. I think for me, just kind of thinking back to the game, there are two plays that stick out to me, and one was, I'm not sure if it was Nick Chubb's first carry or maybe a second, but when he got about he got right around 10 yards, and I think it may have been his first carry, and he was literally dragging four guys at the end, And I'm thinking, that's our guy out there. Man, just yes. Look at him. He is not going to stop. You can't bring this guy down. You need a team to tackle this guy. And then there was a play by Kareem Hunt where I believe he was approaching the line of scrimmage, and he stops on a dime and just goes straight to his right and just takes off. And you're like, oh, my gosh, how did he even do that? And there's just so much talent with these two guys. It's scary how good these two guys are. And as much as they've done for the Browns over the past couple weeks, I don't even feel like the Browns have really even tapped into what these two can be together yet.
Absolutely. That's the scary part. That's the scary part for other teams, because nobody knows, because we don't have a real identity just yet. You know, I don't know what it is about these, you know, stats or percentages. I don't know who the person that created the, well, you got to be 50-50 on a run pass or 60-40 run pass ratios. Man, just run the ball. If you got two quarter horses in the back, run the ball. You got guys that want to block. Run the ball. The play action will come. It's got it on its own.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if you think about it, on the offense, you kind of feel like Baker's just kind of starting to get into his zone now. I think we would probably agree that Jarvis Landry is playing like he can play. You know, he's having a great season. Odell Beckham is still not what he can be yet with the Browns. Yeah. You know, and some of that is he's taken the double coverage on a lot of plays and things, but he's still not what he can be yet for the Browns. And the Browns, you know, don't have a standout tight end right now. They've had a lot of guys contributing, but injuries and this and that. So when you look around, all I really see other than Jarvis Landry is a bunch of guys who can just keep getting better.
Really. Yeah. You know, one of my things that I was thinking about too was, you know, at the beginning of the year when we were going through our skids, whatever, Baker force feeding the ball to playmakers. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to take some heat for what I'm about to say. I look at Baker as being like Michael Jordan. And let me explain what I mean by that. Michael Jordan made a lot of people better that was around him. Didn't have the best guys in the world, but they got better. I mean, you think about it, the game-winning shots. If Steve Kerr made a game-winning shot. It was another guy, I forgot his name, made game-winning shots. It was Jordan did what he did, but he made people better. And I think sometimes us as fans, just because we do have a Odell Beckham, that Baker has to throw the ball to him. Baker makes everybody better. I mean, just think about it. How many fans got upset when we allowed Fails to lead? A lot of people were upset when we let that tight end go. A lot of people were like, oh, man, what are we doing? But then look at the Jones or the Harris kid that we got. Jones, that tight end, look at what he's doing. Baker has the ability of making people better. If you sit up there and try to make Baker have to throw a ball to Beckham, he's going to force it. And that's what he was doing a lot of this, you know, a lot of the beginning of the year. He was forcing the ball. Then But then you notice that Baker started throwing the ball to Seals Jones, other people. It started opening up everything. And see, that's what makes Baker Mayfield so dangerous, is that you just don't know who he is going to throw the ball to. And he's going to get the ball there. I mean, he makes his mistakes, but when he's on, he is on. And I, you know, you could double team Beckham all you want, but if you give Baker Mayfield an opportunity, son, go out there and just play ball. Oh, yeah, somebody like Hollywood Higgins is going to be ripping folks apart. You notice nobody's really saying anything about my guy, and he's really one of my favorite players. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. He's going to make his mark still.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, let me get a prediction from you for the game coming up Sunday.
Okay.
What final score do you see for the Browns Steelers game?
Okay. You know, I really hate doing this because I did it before and I got beat up pretty bad.
That's all right. This is all in fun. Nobody's gonna come back on you. At least I won't. Because I'm wrong all the time on this, okay?
It's all good. All right. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking 27-6 Browns.
Ooh, wow.
I'm thinking 27-6. I really am. The boys look very focused. A lot of them are still pissed off about what happened. I think it's gonna be a hell of a game for us. You know, I don't just, you know, whatever happens to the Steelers, I really don't even think they're going to make it past the 50 that many times, maybe two or three times.
Wow. I mean, they're down a lot of guys. So, yeah, I mean, it's possible. We'll see how much fight they have on them. You know, things happen at Three Rivers, too, though. So, or whatever they call their stadium now. I know every stadium's named after a company now. So, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, as long as we go into the game knowing that we're down 21 points before the game start, don't worry about the officiating crew. Just work on, you know, the things that we need to before the game. Focus on our assignment, alignment, and technique. We got them. We will have them because we will be more focused. I think mentally, I mean, just looking at them, you know, the other games we played to the level of talent that, you know, that we were playing against. It's been some spots of, you know, small spots. Yeah, we are dominating you guys. But we do at times play to the level of our competition.
Yeah,
I think once this past game, then we understood that, hey, this is what it takes. I think this game against the Steelers, this is the real awakening. This is going to be that game that's going to really show us who and what we are. I really do.
I agree with you. Hey, Coach, it's been great talking to you. Why don't you give out your Twitter handle one more time so everybody can check you out on Twitter?
My goodness, if I can remember it. I believe it's Coach Tolliver 26.
26, that's what I have, at Coach Tolliver 26. So yeah, I wrote it down just so we'd have it. Go ahead.
Just to let the brothers and our sister dogs know, I do sometimes get into, you know, a little political talks, but believe me, I'm respectful. Just maintain respect and, you know, we're good, because I will always respect you. I will never curse you, never say anything crazy. But when it comes down to Brown Twitter fam, my group on there, Class A people, that's how I met Mr. Rod. Great people. He was one of my first followers on Twitter, believe it or not. Follow him for a while, and it's been a blessing to get to know these folks, and hopefully I'll be able to get my country cell phone up to Ohio to check out a game.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, if there's two words I can say that would describe you, it would definitely be respect and class.
And, Roger that.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you, and we may have to do this again sometime, Coach.
It is all good. Hopefully, I got to leave for some training for a good while, but I'll be back. But then the deployment. But hopefully it'll be sometime in the close future. Hopefully.
Sounds good. All right. Take care, Coach.
Thanks.
We're going to welcome my brother Jeff in now. How are we doing, Jeff?
Hey, Rod. I'm doing great. I'm happier than a tornado in a trailer park today.
How about that?
Yeah.
3 wins in a row. Jeez, it's been
a
while.
Three wins in a row. I think the Browns played their most complete game of the year this week. You know, since the Ravens game, I mean, has it been this much fun to watch a game? They played well, lots of contributions all across the board. The other great thing is, and you may have mentioned this already, but I just saw where Clay Matthews is a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame again this year. That was just announced not too long ago.
I did not mention that yet, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's really exciting. And
yeah, so that kind of made my day. And then also, I just got late word here that our friend Mason Rudolph has gotten Wally pipped by Devlin Hodges. So he's not going to be playing on Sunday. And, you know, hopefully that's the end of his career. Maybe that's too much to ask. But if I never see Mason Rudolph again, it'll be too soon.
That's true. Yeah, Devlin Hodges. He could be the next Iron Horse. You never know.
You got it. Yeah.
He may start for the next 30 years for the Steelers. Possible.
Yeah, so, you know, anything that helps the cause on Sunday, right?
Right. Yeah, wasn't he either a late round draft pick or an undrafted free agent, wasn't he?
I think he was undrafted, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's probably not the guy, but he's the guy Sunday, and that's right. Definitely probably a good thing for the Browns.
Well, that helps us in our quest to go 1-0 this week.
Yeah. 1-0 this week. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, we've been hearing that from a lot of the players, right? I mean, it's kind of been the common refrain. You know, every player who's interviewed says, you know, hey, we just want to go 1-0 this week. And, you know, you and I talked a little bit. I'm not sure exactly when this started, but it's really nice to see that the players are buying in. You know, they're staying focused on doing their job. We've talked about that in the past, but not looking past this week. And that's a common thing in sports, right? You know, you start looking at the second half schedule and we got all these easy games and, you know, nothing is given in the NFL. You have to earn it every week. And I think it's important that they've all bought into this idea of let's take this thing one game at a time. Let's play our best game each week, which I really think the Dolphins are not a great team. But, you know, that's an easy trap game if everybody's not buying in, right?
They've got two wins. They've got professional players on their team.
Right.
Yeah, you can't overlook anybody in the NFL.
Right. So, you know, the idea that we've got some guys playing at, you know, a high level now, you know, this week was the first time I can remember in the longest time where we had a receiver with 10 catches and a running back with 100 yards. I don't remember that happening. And again, it's against the Dolphins. Okay, so we'll temper our enthusiasm a little bit. But it's a sign that this offense is finally starting to click. And Baker's getting the job done. And we've got some other guys getting the job done as well. It's not just, you know, one guy trying to put everybody on his back or one guy trying to do too much. It's everybody contributing. And that's, I think, what it takes to be 1-0 every week.
Yeah, I want to go a little bit further with that. People can hear this and they can think it sounds easy, but I'm going to go to the college game and just talk about Ohio State and Jim Tressel, or not Jim Tressel. Let's talk about Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, you know, great coach with the national championships, all this acclaim. He was not able to keep his team focused on every single game. They almost That's always true. Blow a game every year, okay? And he's a great, great coach, okay?
Lose to Iowa. Yeah,
they would lose a game every year. So they always had a loss, no matter how great their team was. Mm-hmm. But look at what they're doing this season. Look at what Day's doing with that team. Because he has that formula. He has them focused week to week. And I mean, they stumbled a little bit against Penn State, but I mean, they still won. And this may be the most talented Ohio State team. And this is not an Ohio State podcast, but you get what I'm saying, that it's not easy to do, but if you're doing it, you're doing something right. And to get your players to buy into it and to just focus on that one game, it's what you need to do. And I think it's what the great coaches do. And You know, I'm not a huge New England fan, but you know it's what they do in New England. They're not looking ahead. That's, you know, that's all Belichick says is, you know, we're moving on to next week. You know, we're looking at next week. And I think that's where Brady gets it from, too, is we're focused on
no distractions.
Next week. No distractions. That's it. And if they can actually, if the Browns can actually run things that way, they're doing stuff right.
Yeah, I think it's a good model. You know, Ryan Day had the benefit of, you know, some history at Ohio State. He was interim head coach when Urban had his little suspension. He has, you know, he has history with the players. He's got some chops built, I think, already. Where Freddie is at a little bit of a disadvantage. You know, he's still building that that resume. But for him to be able to get the players to buy in at this point says a lot. And I think it bodes well for the future. You know, if we can instill that type of a culture and continue going forward, you know, just getting better week in and week out, you know, eliminating mistakes, you know, don't be your own worst enemy. That's the first part. But then really just being focused on, you know, being the best player you can be today. You know, that's really all you can ask from a coaching staff. You know, get the most out of your players that you can. I thought on offense we had some guys that really played well. I thought on defense we had some guys that really stepped up and played well, despite probably the most adversity a team could face in a week. So, you know what, let's get off this coaching staff's back and start to recognize that, hey, they're building something here that's, I think, sustainable. You had a lot of strong personalities in this clubhouse. It took a while to get to that point. But I like what I'm hearing from all the players.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see a lot of issues. If there are issues, the guys are generally gone pretty quick, which is I don't have any problem with.
No. No, I mean, look, there's plenty of depth on this team, and thank goodness, because it's been a kind of a mess in some areas. But, you know, we've really seen this year how important it is to have a lot of depth at DB. Same thing with the D-line. Props to Sheldon Richardson this week. You know, I was kind of hard on him a while ago. He stepped up.
Big time.
Like a vet, yeah. Like a vet should, right? He stepped up. He held that line together. He had a great game. You know, Chad Thomas out of nowhere had a great game. There's some real positive signs on, I think, on both sides of the ball.
I know that we've talked about the depth on this roster and the overall depth, but I'm still in that frame of mind of being scared to death when a guy goes down from previous years.
Right.
It's just a mentality, and right. I swear I'm watching the game and I'm like, Brian Cox Jr. I'm like, where the hell did he come from?
Right.
And he's out there and he plays a good game.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Dorsey
knows what he's doing. I mean, I'm just not going to question it. You know, if they let a guy go, we must have somebody better or equal. it seems to work out.
Well, yeah. I don't know what it is, but the ability to hit on those late round draft choices, on those free agents, and just finding players, you know, every team has to be able to do that because every team's going to have injuries at some point during the year, and you know that's what separates a good roster from a consistently winning roster, is if guys can step in and help you win games that you might lose if it was just based on how many starters are out this week.
Yeah, and if I'm being totally honest. I'm looking through the defensive stats right now, and I see three guys that I've never heard of.
Right.
I'm serious. Right. Guys who were elevated. Didn't know their name. I didn't hear their name during the game. I don't know who they are. Right. But it was good enough to win a game convincingly. So it's good enough for me. They must be what we need.
Yeah. Porter Gustin.
Porter Gustin.
Had a quarterback hit and a sack.
Yeah. Tay Davis. I don't know anything about him. He doesn't have any stats. A couple other guys. Adarius Glanton. JT Hassel. I guess I need to study up on the current 53 because it's not what it was at the beginning of the season,
I think all teams get to that point around this time of year, and that's the advantage of us, not playing 15 rookies, and not having a deep draft class that we're trying to evaluate, all those things that we've lived with for the last 20 years. When your starting lineup is pretty well set at the end of training camp, it lets you build the rest of the roster. And now you're seeing these guys contribute midway through the year. And that's what's going to carry you through ultimately.
Right. And we can sit here right now and even kind of know what the Browns are going to do a little bit next off season. And even figure out kind of how many spots we think are how many new guys are going to make the team. I mean, based on guys who are going to be free agents that they're hopefully going to retain and so forth. But you can definitely know the direction that the team's going. It's not, oh my gosh, we need 20 guys on this roster. They don't.
And not only that, you can afford to start going the best player available route, and really just focus on adding a depth guy at each position, where before you were really hoping to hit a home run with a guy like Mac Wilson that, can step in and play every game. You don't count on that from a guy drafted, in later rounds.
Yeah, and for a guy who looks like he had nice ball skills and was going to kind of jump in and play, the linebacker kind of safety role at the beginning, the guy's looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, I think he had a little bit of an off week this week, but overall, you cannot ask more from from a guy, a rookie, again, late round pick. I think he's done a great, an admirable job of.
I think he's gaining experience and learning and getting better overall.
Right.
So I think he's definitely been a positive.
Yep.
So, all right. Are you ready to talk some top dog?
Yeah. And I just want to say how nice it is to have several options this week. and really, I would have to nitpick to come up with somebody who was a bonehead this week. So I'm not even going to name a bonehead this week because I'm tired of making our best players boneheads. So top dog. This is a tough one because, again, several guys had really, really good games. I think, we mentioned Richardson in a sort of a pressure situation where he needed to step up. He did step up, and he had a great game. So he was one guy I thought of. Jarvis, obviously, with the 10 catches and 148 yards or something like that. I mean, he had a great game. But I'm going to go with Joe Schobert.
He's a good one.
Four picks in two games. God. He he gave up one catch on seven targets. He's the quarterback of the defense, and we saw last year when he was out for a little while how much the defense misses that play calling capability that he brings. He still has some issues with tackling once in a while. Okay, but talking about a guy affecting the game, and the last two games, and I'm going to give him props for laying wood on Mason Rudolph. Last game. But Joe Schobert plays at a high level. He's in his contract year. I hope the Browns figure out a way to retain him. But what really seals the deal for me is Joe Schobert goes out and produces every week, and he finds a way to act like he's done it before, and he keeps his damn mouth shut.
Yeah, let me talk about Joe Schobert. Joe Schobert was a Pro Bowler, what, two seasons ago? Two seasons ago. And he made the Pro Bowl based on some guys backing out, I think, or injuries. So it's kind of like, yeah, he's a Pro Bowler, but, you know. And then last year he didn't make it. So you're like, yeah, you know, how good is he, whatever. So we're entering this season, and the Browns drafted two linebackers, and it's like, oh, they're trying to go to other guys, and he's in his last season. He's not making anything this year, and you're wondering, well, maybe they're going to let Joe go after the season. So, you know, kind of a question mark. So he's kind of gone from that to this is the guy. If the Browns don't sign him, they're freaking idiots because – seriously, I mean, Joe, he has held this defense together this year. When, I mean, he's covered up for a lot of other, you know, I don't want to say deficiencies because there have been a lot of positives on the defensive side of the ball. But just look at some of the plays. I mean, some of those deep balls. You know, there was a deep ball thrown to the end zone. You look, and Joe Schobert's down there in the end zone. It's like, what the hell is he doing down there? But, okay. And he's doing everything he should be doing. Like you said, he keeps his mouth shut. Give me a team full of Joe Schoberts and Nick Chubbs and guys like this who come to play, keep their mouth shut, aren't out for their individual glory, act like they made plays before, are going to get up and just be ready for the next play, and let's play some ball, okay? They have to sign Joe Schobert. If they let him go, I'm going to be majorly disappointed.
So I agree.
I love that pick. I love that pick for Top Dog. I'm going to go with Baker with the three early touchdown passes, which really just put the game away.
Yeah.
And like you said, we could go with pretty much anybody, and Baker could win this award other times too. But those three touchdown passes, I was really expecting the Browns to come out and pound the ball early. And when they came out and just scored the three touchdowns real quick like that, It just pretty much ended the game before it even started to me. So,
yeah,
I'm just going to go with Baker for now, what, seven touchdown passes and one pick in the last three games.
Yeah.
So he's really turned things around, and it's just really good to see.
He has. I think this was probably Baker's best game of the year also. You know, I don't think we've seen the best Baker Mayfield yet. You know what I mean? I don't think we've seen him completely get to where he's capable of getting to. We still see flashes of bad Baker every once in a while. But I think he had a great game this week. Absolutely could be a Top Dog pick. I still think there's more inside that I'm waiting to see come out. And
The best baker is the guy who's going to be able to come out second half down 14 points and just fearlessly go out there and march down the field and take the game back. And
maybe,
he's got that in him.
Maybe that's what I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, he hasn't done that yet this season, and he's definitely got that in him. I think we saw, if not that exact scenario, things like that last season, maybe, you know, a little bit closer.
Right.
So,
yep. Good choices. Right,
well, yeah. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up, Jeff. So, right. you have a birthday coming up, so I'm going to wish you a happy birthday and let everybody else out there know that it's your birthday. And right.
I appreciate that.
All right. And
I'm a turkey this year.
You're a turkey. It's actually on Thanksgiving, which happens what, once every, is it every 7 years or close to it? Probably not.
Yeah, five or six or something. I'm not sure. But yeah.
Something like that.
But all right. It's just another day.
That's right.
But I appreciate it, Rod.
Okay. Good talking to you as always, and we'll talk to you soon. We're gonna welcome in the big dog now. How are we doing tonight, Heath?
Hey, we're doing pretty good, man. I'm getting pretty excited for one of my favorite holidays of the year. I love Old Turkey Day. I mean, there ain't nothing better than sitting down and smelling that good food and, being with your family, enjoying it. And one of the best things about football, watching football is on Turkey Day is you can kick back after having that meal and take a little nap and wake back up in the third quarter and know that you got two more games coming that day. But yeah, I love it, man. I just really enjoy Thanksgiving and I can't wait to kick back and watch some football.
I got to agree with you. The three F's, there's nothing quite like it. food, football, and family.
Absolutely.
It's definitely one of my favorite holidays, if not my favorite.
It me too. Well, this is my favorite time of the year. I mean, I've always loved, the Christmas season, and I'm one of those guys that, you know, if I'm driving home from work or if I'm, you know, just driving around the car, I like to turn on the stations with the Christmas music, and I don't know, just something relaxing about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It puts everybody in. It's nice to have that one time a year where, you know, where people just seem to be nicer. You know what I mean?
They just seem
to be a whole lot nicer, and you feel better about yourself. You feel better about, you know, everything around you and everybody that you see, and you know, people stopping and telling you Merry Christmas. You don't even know them. It just makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a definitely special time of year.
It sure is, man. It sure is. And, you know, then you think about the people that that's no longer here, and, you know, but you wish they still were. But, you know, people, it's just a nice time of year. And I'll tell you what else is nice. I went 3-1 on my picks last week. My best bet was great. I had Cleveland minus the 10.5, which hit.
Yeah.
My over-under, I had the Jets and the Raiders under 46.5, and that was 34-3, which was 37, which was good. My three-team teaser, which paid 2-1. Perfect. Bengals plus the 12, Tampa Bay plus 10, and the Bears even. That hit. The only bad one, the only blemish I had was I took the Rams on Monday night with the points, the 3 points against Baltimore. And unfortunately for me, the only one team showed up, and it wasn't the Rams. And it was kind of unfortunate, too, because I think it kind of put a lock on the division for Baltimore, which I was hoping,
unfortunately,
that, you know, yeah, unfortunate, but I honestly think the Browns, the way they're playing right now and they're gelling, if they can just keep it rolling and get one of them wild card spots, I don't think anybody's going to want to play them in the playoffs with all the talent that's on that offense. But overall, it was, 3-1. I'll take that when it comes to trying to pick football games this year.
Yeah, I would agree. So, you're doing a great job there. So, on our picks.
Yeah, you were perfect, man. You were great, man.
Well, I was 2-1.
Yep.
I missed I missed the one game. I overestimated the ability of the Broncos.
Yeah.
My fault for underestimating the Bills. I just was kind of looking at the matchup, and I just got to give the Bills credit. You know, played a good game.
Yep. Yep. You know, the Buffalo Bills, kind of a strange team. I mean, when you look at their schedule, all their wins against teams this year, none of those teams are in line to make the playoffs. The three losses that they have are the Browns, Philadelphia, and the Patriots. So when they've played teams that are decent, they've lost. But what are they doing that every team that has aspirations of going to the playoffs, you beat the bums, you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And they're That's beating right. all those teams. And so I give them credit. They're hanging in there. And, you know, I like that pick when you had Denver plus four. I really thought Denver was going to, I thought they were going to win the game. But Denver really has shown that they're not ready. You know, they're not ready for prime time yet. They got still a lot of billing to do. But hey, 2-1, yeah. Brother, that ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'll take it.
Because on the other, yeah, the flip side, I went 1-2. I thought the Texans were good. The Texans won the game against the Colts, and I thought they needed that quick turnaround after they got blew out. They got their Thursday night game at home, and they're just a flat team. And giving up four, I thought I'd be okay. They end up winning by three, so the spread got me. The Patriots, I had a -6.5 at home against the Cowboys. I didn't expect, hurricane-type weather, windy and cold and rainy. Kind of became a boring game, -6.5. I think they cover. They didn't cover. Cowboys end up with the cover there. But I got the Bengals +6.5. And they did cover against the Steelers. Quite honestly, the Bengals could have won that game and probably should have won that game.
Yeah.
How bad is Mason Rudolph? I mean, that guy's horrible. They had to yank him out of the game because Tomlin knew they were getting ready to lose to the Bengals. So, but, you know, overall, our overall record now is you're there. You're sitting at 500, brother. You're 6-6 with 12 games, and I'm sitting at 4-8 on those.
I'll take 6-6 against the spread this season. It's not been easy.
Oh no, that's yeah. hard. Like I said, we've said before, this is a really tough season to pick football games. So if you can go, 500 or better right now. There's a lot of guys out there that people are paying a lot of money on 800 lines right now that are only hitting about 35% of their games. So, and I know that's a fact because I document there's a couple, 2-3 shows I watch online that are pretty good guys. And I've been writing down their best bets and 3 or 4 bets a week. And they're barely hanging on at 50%. So I wouldn't worry about that. Can I give you my picks for the week, my friend?
Sure. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a 3-team teaser, and I'm going to call it my Turkey Day teaser. I'm going to take all 3 games on Thanksgiving Day, and I'm going to turn it into a 3-team teaser. So each game we'll have some fun with here. So let's go with the Lions. So we're going to get the extra 6 points. The Lions are getting 3 against Chicago. At home, I'm going to take the Lions +9. The Cowboys are giving Buffalo 6.5, and that game is in Dallas. And I'm going to drop the 6 off there. You lose the hook. I'm going to get the Cowboys even. And then the Saints are -7 at Atlanta. I'm going to drop 6 off that, and I'm going to get the Saints -1. So that 3-team teaser is Lions +9, Cowboys even, Saints -1. So that's my Turkey Day teaser.
I like it.
I love it. Let's go over-under. Let's do our over-under game. You got the Jets and the Bengals. Let's see here. I'm going to play the over. It's 41 is the number. Sam Darnold has been turning it up a notch with the Jets. He's starting to get in sync with his guys. Bengals defense is not very good, but the Bengals are starting Andy Dalton this week. So I look for Andy Dalton to put up some points. Jets will put up some points. I think that 41, they should crunch that number. So let's go that game over 41. Mm-hmm. My underdog of the week. I am going to have faith in the San Francisco 49ers. They're going into Baltimore, and the 49ers are getting 6 points. I've been saying all year, the way you beat the Baltimore Ravens is simple. You stop the run. You stop the run, and you make Lamar Jackson beat you with his arm. He's going to try to beat you with his legs, too. But if you turn it into a game where he has to beat you on his own, you should be able to get away and you should get that win. That's what the Browns did to him. You know, Mark Ingram didn't go off too much on the Browns. In fact, they got him to fumble once in that game. And then you put pressure on him and sack him a couple, two, three times. And I think 49ers defense is pretty darn good, especially that front. So I think they're going to be all over him. So I like 49ers plus 6 as my underdog. My best bet of the week, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys at home on Thanksgiving, giving the Buffalo Bills 6.5. Buffalo, all their wins this year are against teams that have no playoff chance, and their 3 losses this year was to Cleveland, Philadelphia, and New England. Buffalo is going to go into Dallas, and I think Dallas is going to whoop up on them pretty good. I think it's going to be a pretty good game for a little bit, but you'll get Josh Allen to get some turnovers, and Dallas will make them pay. So my best bet is Dallas minus 6.5. My underdog is the 49ers plus 6. My over-under is the Jets and Bengals over 41. And my Turkey Day teaser is the Lions plus 9. Cowboys even. Saints minus 1. I'm hot on these picks. I love every one of them. So I hopefully if you take my advice and you play these, hopefully we can get you some money this week.
Very well done.
Thank you.
I like all that, so... All right, so we're going to make some picks, and we're going to switch it around a little bit. We're going to let you go first.
Okay.
This week, because I kind of stole your best bet last week, and it was easy pickings. It was low-hanging fruit. So
yeah, Browns game. That was
it should have been
a whole lot worse than it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was an easy victory for me. So
yeah, that was a good one. Well, let's see here. Well. Then what I'm going to do, and I know you want them, but I can't let you have them. I'm going to take the Browns. I'm going to take the Browns at Pittsburgh, laying the 2 points. There is no reason for the Browns to walk in there and lose this game. This is the game of the year for them. But like Freddie says, let's get out of there at 1-0. So I'm going to take the Browns minus 2.
Okay. I like that. That was definitely on my list. So I'm trying to think which one you would want next, because I'm going to pick the other one.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to go with the one I have the strongest feeling about. I'm going to take the 49ers and the 6 points.
Yeah.
I love the 49ers. I would take the 49ers as plus 6 against anybody right now. So
I agree.
I 6 points. I mean, are you kidding me? That defense they've just been nothing short of scary. I think if they go in there and play their game, I think they could absolutely destroy the Ravens' game plan. And I think, it could be a mess.
Yeah. I would like to see the Ravens, you know, get knocked down to earth a little bit, you know, get some reality going again there, because I mean, when you turn on the television now, that's all they're talking about—the world-beating Baltimore Ravens. Okay, they're good. They're a good football team, but let's be honest, they're not as great as everybody's building them up to be. And I'm sorry, Lamar Jackson had 5 touchdown passes. Did you happen to see what the yardage? What was the total yardage for all 5 touchdown passes combined?
It was under 100 yards, wasn't it?
45 yeah. yards.
Yeah.
9 yard average per touchdown, which tell me he's not throwing downfield to score. He's getting down there towards the goal line. Then what happens? He's got you because he's going to fake a bootleg. You're going to come up on him, and he's just going to do a little toss right over top of you. Yeah. I mean, you got to keep him from getting down there. All right, let's see here. My turn again. Well, let's go Sunday Night Football. Let me have the Patriots -3 at Houston.
I like that one. That was probably going to be my next pick. So.
Was it?
Yeah, probably. But, hey, good for you.
Let me ask you real quick. Are you having a beer tonight?
I have completed a beer that I started on an earlier segment, yes.
Okay, what do we have tonight? Do we have was it a Christmas ale?
Quite possibly. It was a Southern Tier Brewing 2 Xmas Spice Double Ale. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
8% alcohol?
8%. Very good. Very good. You can taste the you can actually taste all of the different spices in it, and as opposed to some of these Christmas ales where it just kind of feels all thrown together and stirred up, and here you go, here's a big strong drink.
Here's a shot of Jack Daniels in a Christmas ale bottle.
Right.
Basically what it is, it's just
This tastes like Christmas. I like the clove and the orange peel and that. You can taste that in this beer. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little on the stronger side, but, a lot of your Christmas ales are 10%. So,
yeah. See, we have, I live in Akron, and we have a Thirsty Dog Brewing right up here in Akron. Mm-hmm. And they have a very popular Christmas ale, 12 Dogs of Christmas. And, I mean, it's a very popular, and it's okay out of the bottle, but on tap, it's really, really good because they dip the rim of the glass in a little brown sugar and cinnamon. Yeah. So, and that really gives it that Christmassy, taste. But I'm going to tell you, the first time I ever had it, me and my wife was watching a show, and the guy, the host was at the beer distributor, and they were tapping the Christmas ale, and they described all the different ingredients, and man, me and my wife were like, God, that sounds just delicious, and we got to get some of that, we got to try it. So I surprised her, and I stopped at the store, and I walked in, and I said, look what I got, and I held up the 12 Dogs of Christmas. I said, let me try this, I know it's going to be delicious. And I popped that thing, and I took a drink, and I about spit it across the room. It was horrible. It tastes like bug spray. You ever spray off on your hands or accidentally get some off in your mouth? It's like that. It was just absolutely not what they said on television. I didn't, the nutmeg and the cinnamon and the honey and all that blended together. And it just did not.
You have to be able to taste those ingredients, or it's not what you want it to be. I would recommend this one. If you're willing to give it a shot, the Southern Tier, you can actually taste the ingredients in it. So I think it's good. I think it's a good one.
And the 12 Dogs, actually, I won't kill it. After I sat down and had a few tastes of it, I mean, it just was kind of a shocking taste when I first had it. And, I expected a little smoother, but it was really like boom right at you. And very, 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 very strong. If you had two of them, that's the limit. But you know what, though? Christmas ale, you got to have a Christmas ale at Christmas time. I mean, you just have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing with beers. You can't judge a beer on the first taste.
Right.
The second taste and thereafter is when you really get the flavor of it. The first taste is always going to be a little bit off as you get adjusted to it. Sure, because
you have no idea what's coming at you, so how can you judge it right off the bat?
That's right.
You've got to see if you like it. Well, okay, so we had our little beer session, so we're back to you, my friend.
I have to take the Arizona Cardinals at home getting 3 points against the Rams, who look horrendous, and they're going to be up against another quarterback who can run. Give me the Cardinals plus 3. Yeah.
I like that too, man. I was so close. That was almost my underdog pick of the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so close to being my underdog pick of the week. Because to me, the Rams are lost. They just look like, you know, is Sean McVay on the hot seat yet? I haven't heard anything yet. I just didn't know if that was.
I can't imagine. It would be such an upset for people to actually call for his job with how highly he's been regarded over the last, 12 plus months.
Well, that's all they've been saying. All these teams now that are hiring head coach, you got to get your young Sean McVay. You got to get your McVay in there, you know. And you know what? It just goes to show. I mean, you know, there's only really one true great head coach, and that's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is consistent, and he's got a system that works. And you watch his teams, and you go, why don't we just do it that way? But you just can't. It's just something about the way he coaches those guys, man. They'll run through a wall for Bill Belichick. I also like Kyle Shanahan. I think he's a nice young coach, and I wish we wouldn't have pushed him out the door like we did, you know. But John Harbaugh's a heck of a coach. Mike Tomlin's a good coach. Pete Carroll's a good coach. But yeah, everybody wanted a McVay. You got to get that young guy, that McVay. And I think right now they're probably sitting there going, you know, what the heck's going on here? I mean, guys, I mean, they were in a freaking Super Bowl last year. I mean, they look horrible. You know,
they do.
Yeah, okay, they do. Let's see here. Well, I got one more, and I got to pick one that's going to be right on the money here. Well, I got to do this because I think they got one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league right now, and it's shocking. I'm going to take the Titans in Indianapolis with getting 2.5. What Ryan Tannehill has done is amazing. This is a guy that was booted out of Miami, and because they just said he just wasn't worth re-signing, he takes over for Mariota, and the guy's putting up phenomenal numbers.
Yeah.
You know? He has been fantastic, and he's going to get a contract extension, and I think Mariota's going to be out the door. So I'm going to take the Titans at Indianapolis getting 2.5.
All right. I still think there are some great picks left here.
Yep.
You didn't even pick your best bet. And
no,
I'm not going to pick it either.
No, thing. I put it up there in that column, and I'm going to leave it there because I want to make those games up there. Those are my separate bets. What I'm telling you right now, everyone I tell you when I do my own little segment, those are games I am going to put money on. These down here, that what we're doing, this is our own little personal thing where we're going against each other. These are the ones I would call my second tier bets. But the ones up top, those are the ones that definitely my money's going to be going on those.
Okay. I have a feeling that the Packers are going to have a big bounce back game against the Giants. I'm willing to give the 6.5, so give me the Packers minus 6.5.
Give me your score for Brown Steelers.
Yeah, you know, I think the Steelers are going to fight a little bit harder than what people might think, but I still think the Browns are going to control this game. So yeah. I think it might be a little lower scoring than what we think. So I'm going to say Browns 17-7.
Okay, I got it 27-13 Browns. Give me your Ohio State-Michigan score.
I think Ohio State's going to – I think they're going to go big in this one. I'm going to say 45-10 for the Ohio State game.
45-10.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the spread – and to me, I just – this is crazy unless the Vegas knows something, and I just don't know – Ohio State's only minus 9, which to me is kind of shocking.
Yeah.
And 50.5 is the number. So I don't know if they're just trying to make people think, well, what is going on with this line? So what was your score?
I said 45-10.
45-10? That's pretty good shellacking.
Yeah, I think it'll be a shellacking. I may be overestimating the points the Buckeyes will score, but yeah.
Well, I think Ohio State's going to get at least 6 touchdowns. So that's 42 points and probably 3 field goals. So that's 51. And they destroyed them last year, and Michigan doesn't have much in offense. They'll be all over Shea Patterson. They'll be beating him up. They'll be switching quarterbacks by halftime. I think Brian Day is going to go over there, and he's going to make Jim Harbaugh. This will be it. This will be Harbaugh's last game that he'll ever coach against Ohio State, because they will not keep him after he gets annihilated in this game. I'm going to go big in this game. I'm going to say, let's go 57. I'm going to say 57-24. Yep. All right. I'm going to say 57-24 Ohio State.
So you're betting the over.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. 50.5. Wow. I mean, I think Ohio State's going to score at 45 on their 45 to 50 on their own. I mean, and I think the defense is going to get at least one touchdown, maybe two. I mean, this should not be much of a football game. We should be very comfortable by halftime.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyways, well,
but they're rivals, so who knows?
Yeah. It's going to be a big weekend of sports with the Browns and the Buckeyes, and we're gonna wrap it up and get on out of here. And with the news of Clay Matthews making it to the round of 25, we know that Clay Matthews Jr. belongs in Canton, and we hope that this is the year for him to get there. And this has been the Browns Blitz, and we will catch you next time.